In Deuteronomium wordt Abraham een zwervende Arameër genoemd. Delen van het Oude Testament zijn geschreven in het Aramees, de taal die het gewone volk in Galilea sprak. De Heer Jezus sprak bijvoorbeeld Aramees. Ook nu wonen er nog Arameërs in het Midden-Oosten en ook in Israël als kleine minderheid. Vaak hoor je dat in Israël minderheden worden gediscrimineerd of dat er apartheid is. Hoe ervaren de Arameërs dat? Bij mij aan tafel Shadi Galul. Hij is Aramees christen en onderdeel van de oudste christelijke gemeenschap van Israël. En hij zet zich in voor het bouwen van bruggen tussen christenen en joden. Shadi, welcome in our studio.
Thank you.
So you are here for a short visit in the Netherlands. What is the reason for your visit?
Well, thank you for hosting me here at the CFI, and I would like to start with thanking CFI, Christian for Israel, Holland, for hosting me and arranging this tour to expose our Aramaic identity, about our life as Christian and Jews in the land of Israel, in the Israeli state, how we achieved a great achievement in a very positive Christian model as we lead it in the Israeli Christian Aramaic NGO that I am the leader and founder of it since 2007. And we will do a tour with different communities in Holland, the Christian
to
community and Aramaic community,
right.
To speak to the Aramaic community and to the Aramaic, about the Aramaic cause, and about the Middle East and problems that we face as Christians in the greater Middle East compared to Israel as living as a free, democratic Jewish state, enjoying the freedom and worshiping freely and enjoying the life like other Western democracies.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about your community, the Aramaic community, later. But first I wanted to go back to the past year. The 7th of October happened in 2023.
Yeah.
The Gaza war broke out and Israel was in a war since then. So how did your community, the Aramaic community, experience the war?
Well, that was very terrible. Actually, I call it a genocidal action of terrorism that aimed to annihilate the Jewish people and the Jewish state. And this is a very precious state to us also as native Christians and Aramaic people in Israel.
Was it a big shock to your
it's
community?
A big shock to our community. It was not only a big shock, it's a big fear for the destiny and the future of Israel, because if Israel is weakened, Sarah, we cannot exist as a community and we will not enjoy the freedom that we enjoy under Israel today. So this incident, genocidal action of Hamas against Israel,
affects your community,
affect me, affect my community, affect my people, and we were worried because we live, most of us, in the Galilee. We were worried that this will be followed by invasion and incursion from another terrorist organization larger than Hamas, it's called Hezbollah in the north, which would be now a disaster for all of Israel.
So how was the past year for you?
It's very difficult, one of the most difficult years. It actually shocked the basis of trust within the Israeli society on the institutions and on IDF as well, because they were expecting IDF to defend them, and they are used that IDF can finish wars very
quickly
and do what need to be done in a very quick way. And now we are almost 1 year since October 7.
So, but your life, how did it
so happen? this until now, to remind you, I live 4 kilometers from the Israeli-Lebanese border. After what happened in October 7th in the south, it followed by an attack from Hezbollah on October 8th in the north with missiles and with rockets. And we have almost on daily basis rockets and attacks from the north, and we were fearing from incursion of the elite unit that Radwan, it's called force, that will be infiltrating the borders and do incursion and do the same massacres in the north of Israel. So many evacuated from our region. Many people are evacuated already until today. We were not evacuated because we decided not to evacuate.
I want to ask you a question about that. Because you say that you live 4 kilometers from the border with Lebanon, but as we understood, is that 5 kilometers from the border, everybody is evacuated. Still, you say you are still there. How is that possible?
We took the risk not to evacuate. Mm-hmm. We could evacuate. We decided not. We asked the citizens of the town.
And we, you mean the whole town?
We, the whole town. We, as a municipality, and I am also part, you know, I'm elected member
of the council.
Mm-hmm. And I have a party in this council of the village. And we had calls to all citizens asking if they want to evacuate or not, and the majority said we don't want to evacuate.
But it's dangerous.
And it's dangerous, but we took the risk that it's better to stay home and defend our homes. Whatever it takes, we should do it. And because if we lose our homes, then I don't know where we will end up. So we decided to stay and fight. It's hard time.
It is
economy destroyed, education destroyed.
Yeah.
Children are not studying, you know, properly. Mm-hmm. We have also to remind you a lot of businesses that depend on services. So nobody come to our town. Most of our neighbor, Jewish neighbors, are evacuated. So we don't have anyone to serve in this region, and so businesses are bankrupt. We hope that soon we will end this war and have peace and people will come to normal life. But I doubted that it will happen very fast because of the threat of Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Aramean community, because in the Netherlands we don't have written in our documents that somebody is a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim, but in Israel, in Israeli documents like a birth certificate, it says that you are an Aramean Christian. Why is that?
Yeah, well, first, before Israel inherited what was under Ottoman Empire and British mandate registry forms. Mm-hmm. And under Ottoman Empire and later on British mandate, every newborn is registered according to the sect or people who is belong to.
So Israel continued that
mm-hmm. registry. Mm-hmm. So if you are Jewish, you are registered Jew. If you are a Muslim, you are registered as an Arab or Muslim. Mm-hmm. And if you are a Christian under Ottomans, it was if you are a Christian, you are registered as a Christian, Maronite Christian, Catholic Christian, Orthodox Christian, whatever, mm-hmm. Protestant, whatever. And Israel, when it was established, it actually registered all Christians, Arabs, mm-hmm. not according to what was under Ottoman rule, but according to any who is non-Jew and speaking Arabic, so he's an Arab.
But you not, are not an
and
Arab.
And we are not Arabs. Mm-hmm. So our people in the 50s, and our priest at the community said to them, we're not Arabs, don't register us Arabs. But they didn't understand why he's saying that. Mm-hmm. And they kept this, they neglected this, request. Mm-hmm. And many people were registered since then Arabs, mm-hmm. and they are not Arabs.
And when did it change?
And then it changed in 2014, when I returned from my studies in Las Vegas and opened and founded the Aramaic Christian Israeli NGO. And through a lot of lobbying and knocking doors and following Matthew 7:7, which is...
Knock and the door shall be opened.
Knock in the doors and it will be opened. I went to the parliament, I went to the foreign ministry, I went to and met Bibi Netanyahu, I met Yair Lapid, I met all the great, like the leaders of Israel at that time.
And finally, we were recognized
in Israel for all Christian, by the way. It's not only Christian Maronites, Christian Catholic, Christian Orthodox, Christian Maronites, Syriac Orthodox, Syriac Catholics.
Yeah.
We all recognized as Arameans. And that was a great achievement for our NGO.
Yeah. Do Jews and minorities in Israel, do they have the same rights?
Israel, you need to understand, it's like Holland. And when I mean it's like Holland, it is a democratic state. It has a Jewish majority, yes. So it's a Jewish democratic state. Mm-hmm. But the democracy has one law for every citizen. Mm-hmm. And whatever law is approved in the parliament, it will be implemented in all citizens without any discrimination between people. Mm-hmm. So if you have social security as a Jew, I will have it as a Christian and he will have it as a Muslim.
So no difference, you say?
No difference at all between citizens. If you have freedom of worship, you have freedom of worship for everyone. Mm-hmm. If you have a freedom of speech, you have freedom of speech for everyone. Mm-hmm. Not for a Jew or for a Muslim, he has a different freedom of speech. So that's all what we have in Israel is democracy. It's mm-hmm. like in Holland. Now, in every democracy, yeah. Sarah, to remind mm-hmm. you, yes, we have imperfections in democracies. Like you have in your country, like USA have imperfections.
Mm-hmm. Can you give
Israel
an example?
Israel has imperfections too,
can you
yes.
give an example? Because I can imagine, is there also a difference in how you are being treated?
I show you one, for example of imperfection of mm-hmm. the democracy. Minority, usually, in any democracy, because it's a minority, sometimes their needs are neglected because the majority is busy with their own needs mm-hmm. and with focusing on their own issues.
Yeah.
And the minority issues are sometimes neglected.
They're minor, yeah.
Yeah, it's a yeah. minor.
Yeah.
But once you bring this minor issues or needs to the top of the table and put it in front of the majority and deal with it, and it serves everyone, then your answers will be met.
Yeah, you're, so you have to fight for it.
Exactly,
yeah.
You need to fight. That's yeah. that's imperfection of any democracy.
Yeah.
But in Israel, for example, I can also have imperfections, very short example.
Yeah.
Christians in Israel are learning, for example, according to Arab and Islamic curriculum in the schools. Why? Because Christians are 2%, are neglected. Their needs are not represented by the church clergy. Mm-hmm. Because the church clergy has interest of not upsetting the Arab side mm. and the Muslim side. So they compromise mm. on their identity and on their needs. And they say, oh, you know what? We shall not ask for our educational
right.
needs.
Yeah.
But once I start asking for it,
yeah.
I saw
it
that
changed.
The Jews are ready to recognize yeah. this need.
Question, because organizations like, for example, Amnesty International, they say that Israel is an apartheid state, that there is racism against the Palestinians, that there is racism against the minorities. You live there as being a minority. What is your viewpoint on that? Is Israel an apartheid state?
I don't know what this Amnesty International take these mm-hmm. Reports from. I invite Amnesty International to come and stay in Israel in the month of April, mm-hmm. the month of Easter, the month of Palm Sunday, the month where Christian community celebrate in Haifa and block the streets of Haifa, where the majority are Jews living there,
yeah.
but we block the streets of Haifa for celebrations of Palm Sunday, and the Jews are tolerant, and the police help us block the roads so we can enjoy celebrating our holidays. That's
so
the
there is no
freedom of
in
worship.
Israel.
What apartheid are in the Arab states? That's where is the apartheid. Mm. In Palestinian Authority, there is apartheid against Christians. There is apartheid in Arab states against Christians and against Jews. In Israel, we have democracy and not apartheid.
Mm. So how do you explain it? Well, Amnesty International is one of the examples.
I explain
but there is many
only
organizations
a
that say it.
Power of money. Money talks.
What do you
Who
mean?
Has the money? The oil countries have the money. Qatar is funding all these organizations who've spread hatred against Israel and the Jewish only state in this world. Mm-hmm. It's the same they did with Lebanon Christian.
Yeah.
They spread hatred against Lebanese Christians for building a Christian town, state back then that can host every type of religion in it. And they didn't like
it. So you it. Say it lies.
And that's likewise they are doing in Israel, spreading hate in order to weaken the state and destroy the only Jewish democratic state in the region.
Let's continue about the Armenian community in Israel. How close are you as a community? How many people are there, for example?
The Christian community in general in Israel is 2%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2% of the Israeli entire population, which means around 180,000 Christians.
But the Aramean?
Most of us live in Galilee. Mm-hmm. Aramean community are about 15,000 Christians in the land.
Yeah.
And this Aramaic people count Syriac Orthodox, Syriac Catholic, Syriac Maronites, and Syriac Melkites, which means also Greek Orthodox and Greek mm-hmm. Catholics, which we call them Syriac Melkites.
Are you close as a community?
And as a community, I represent, because I was a candidate for the Knesset, I have support from all those communities. Mm-hmm. I don't have support only from the Maronite community, for example. I have from the Greek Orthodox, from the Greek Catholic, from the Armenian Christian, from Coptic Christians who are in Israel, not that big communities, mm-hmm. but the majority of those people are in the Galilee, are Greek Orthodox and Greek Catholics, mm-hmm. which we call them Syriac Melkites. And we have support from them for the Aramaic cause. They believe they are Arameans too. So they are registered also Arameans like mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. So I represent all sects, non-denominational churches.
Yeah.
I don't care about what type of Christianity you come from. If you're Protestant, you're Catholic, I help every Christian in mm-hmm. my process of being Aramean.
Yeah, and you are also fighting to be seen as a people, as you described before. Why is it so important to be recognized as being Aramaic by the government?
Important. You know, identity in this land, in Middle East, is not like in the West. You know, it is very important to have your own identity, your own language, your own roots, your own history, and through past, mm-hmm. you can build the future. If you neglect your past, you cannot build on it the future for your people in this land. Mm. And that's the importance of recognition. Once you have recognized as Aramean in Israel, then you can ask the government of Israel with a greater understanding from their side about the needs for this national identity. Right. Needs of national identity. It's educational needs. It's budget needs. Mm-hmm. It's church needs. It's whatever aspect or needs that you have for any national identity.
You can bring it to the government and they can help.
And they can help you because they understand, like if you were Arab, for example, the Arab has, for example, Islamic needs. Then the government allow them to have Islamic history, Islamic teachings. But what about us? They don't. Until now, until we have this recognition, they didn't know what our identity is. Yeah. What is it? So if you are an Arab, then you are studying Islamic history, which is not ours. Mm. But when you are Aramean, then you can go to the government and say, I have my own Christian history and needs based on my national Aramaic identity.
How did the Arameans come to Israel?
The Arameans were always in the land of Israel since Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the first Arameans who came to the land of Canaan. And land of Canaan was called land of Israel. Mm. And this land of Israel, as testify for the first Arameans, the Jews originated from Aramean people. Mm. Because Leah and Rachel, for example, the wives of Jacob, are Arameans too. Jacob is the son of Rebecca. Rebecca is the daughter, is the sister of Laban, mm-hmm. the Aramean in the Bible.
So the Jewish people and Aramean are one, and the family.
Jews were developed as a people later on based on Judah tribe, according to the name of Judah. And the Arameans adopted Christianity with the Messiah, Jesus, mm-hmm. were called Messianics. And this brought those people again to be from the same values or following same values based on one Bible and one book.
Yeah. So the Aramean people and the culture, they have been largely erased from the history. How did that happen? Because a lot of people, they don't know about the Aramean history.
Sarah,
they think that
history,
Aramean is the same as Aramaic, but it's something different.
Armenian is different than Arameans. Mm-hmm. Arameans is standing for Aramaic people. They have Aramaic language, they have Aramaic flag, they have Aramaic lands. Aramaic lands is Lebanon, is what we call it Phoenicia, Lebanon. We have Syria, we have Iraq, and we have North Israel as well. All this was called land of Aram and land of Israel.
But it seems like these people were forgotten throughout.
And they were forgotten because of a large persecution that happened through history. We were persecuted, and the last persecution and genocide, Sarah, to remind the people, was 1915 under Ottoman Empire. We have Sipho genocide for the Syriac Orthodox Aramaic people of our brothers and sisters in northeast Syria. 750,000 were annihilated by Ottomans and Kurds. And in Lebanon, we have Kafno, which is a famine that was imposed by the Ottomans, and burning the wheat and the food and burning their towns. And this caused 200,000 Maronites to die from hunger, and many migrated. Through history, this Middle East was majority of our Aramaic Christianity.
Nowadays,
and it diminished today to be very little minorities. Only Lebanon remained the stronghold, last stronghold for us, because Maronite decided to fight and defend themselves in their homeland, like the Jews doing in Israel.
Why is it so important that Christians, like myself, know about what Arameans are, about your community?
Let me tell you, first of all, we are all Christians. We are one body of Christ. We are one people. We share the same values. We share the same book with the Jews and as a Christians together. And that's first. If your body is one of your side of your body not functioning, then you are a weak body, and you also will not exist as a Western Christian.
So our faith is together.
We are fighting the same fight, and we have the same goals, and we should synchronize ourselves better so our body can function and be strong and do our mission as a Christian to this world and make it better world for all of us.
Yeah. Is persecution of the Arameans, as you described throughout the history, there was persecution, there was genocides, for example, during the time of the Ottomans. Is it still a problem nowadays?
The persecution has different phases. Genocide has different phases. It has a physical aspect. It has a physical and spiritual phase, and it has a spiritual phase. And now it is a spiritual genocide.
What do you mean with that?
When I say spiritual, before they killed us by sword, they killed the Christians of the Middle East, the natives, and the Arameans, Syriacs, Maronites by sword, and today they are killing them spiritually.
What do you mean?
They are not allowing them their own language. They are not recognizing them as they are. They try to make Arabize them. And when you Arabize them, means it's first step before Islamization. And we are in Israel the only Christian population who are increasing in numbers and recognized by the state as Arameans.
But not
while
in the
other surrounding
countries
are persecuted, not recognized. They force on them to be Arabized. And they force the Lebanese Christians to call themselves Arabs and not being called Syriacs, Phoenicians.
So you say that your community in Israel is relatively safe because there is freedom of speech and democracy, but for the
communities... Because we have law of order, because we have strong security forces who defend all people who are attacking or being attacked by some criminals or terrorists.
Yeah, but
in this
my
region.
Question was about the surrounding communities in Lebanon and Syria. They are suffering from the persecution.
It is. I mean, many of them are migrating today. You know, I count for you how many Maronite Christians of Lebanon living in diaspora. 8 to 10 million Maronites live overseas, while only 1 million left in Lebanon. Do you think people like to leave their own lands and give it to others or let others control it?
They have no choice.
They had no choice. They will be, you know, what the destiny, genocide. They will have atrocities. They will have exactly what October 7 you saw in the south of Israel. That's what we faced in the past. So many of them left. In Iraq. Iraq, you before in 2015 when ISIS took over Mosul. In Iraq, we have 1.5 million Christians, Arameans. Today,
not anymore.
We have 200, maybe hardly 200,000 Christians.
Yeah.
In Syria, 2 million Christians. How many left in Syria today? 500,000 only.
Yeah.
So that's the persecution that we see in the Middle East toward Christianity and Christians. Now, here in Israel, we were, first of all, 50,000 Christians, and now we are 180,000 Christians,
so
and we are increasing in numbers, and we're enjoying freedom.
Yeah.
And I know there are some things that we need to fix, but how we fix it?
Yeah.
We fix it, we proved that in our NGO, our Aramaic NGO, proved that by Christian engagement model and positive model and loyalty to the state and serving the state and getting your rights in return, that's the model.
That's big, the way to achieve things.
To achieve things and to be a good citizens of the state, of any state.
Yeah. We're almost coming to the end of the interview. You're a Christian. You believe in the Bible just like we do. What verse in the Bible appeals to you most and motivates you to fight for your community?
I ask people to read Matthew 7:7. And when I say Matthew 7:7, it is the verse that said, ask and you will be given, knock and it will be opened. And I did it myself and I succeeded. This is the model I did in achieving our Aramaic identity in Israel for all Christians. This is the model I did when I opened and launched the first Christian Jewish program for youth in Israel. It's the first unique program. It's already 8 years in the ground, in the Galilee, in the Sea of the Galilee, where Christian youth and Jewish youth learn together, study together, train together, and go serve in the IDF and in civil society toward better coexistence and defense of Israel.
Yeah, and you get your wisdom.
That's by just this verse.
Yeah.
And even when things were closed to me and doors were closed, I jumped from windows and went through the holes of the doors because this verse went always in my mind. It was there. Say, knock doors. Okay, you knock door, it was closed. Mm-hmm. Go knock another door. Never give up. Never give up for something that is good and positive and can be good model for others to follow. We are agents of hope for others to follow too.
What can we pray for your Aramaic brothers and sisters in Israel?
Let's pray for them, first of all, that we will pass this period of time in a safety manner and security will come back to the land and peace will come back to Jerusalem and to Israel for the Jewish people, for the Christian people, and for all people of the land of Israel, because we need those prayers in this time where the evil is growing around us and around Israel and around Lebanon. And we need to get rid of some evil in this region, hopefully disarming them peacefully from their weapons as terror organizations like Hezbollah and like Hamas. And if not, I think peace can come after sometimes wars. Mm. But in order to achieve peace,
praying for peace.
Let's pray for the peace.
Yeah.
That's the best thing, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And pray with you in Aramaic language, the Lord's Prayer.
Yes,
so
please.
Maybe this will bring the peace for the land of Israel. Abunit bashmayo net kadash shmoch, tite malkutoch nehwes bionoch, aikanut bashmayo of baro. Havlan lahmot son konan yaumono, washbuklan haubain wahtohain, aikanut dofehnan shbuknel hayubain, ulot alan el nisuno, elofason min bisho. מתול די לוחי מלכותו, חי לו תשבוחתו, לעולם עלמן. אמן.
אמן.
These are the words of Jesus.
In the language that he spoke.
In his language, in Aramaic, that we still as Arameans preserving, that Jews also pray in this language in some of their texts, and we share with them those common roots and this common language. So God bless you, and thank you for hosting me again.
Thank you,
Shadi. Thanks, CFI, for everything doing for us as well in the land. and helping us with the Aramaic Center. So please, I invite your audience to come visit us.
Thank you for coming to our studio, Shadi Galoul. En u thuis ook bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Christen voor Israël. En u kunt op de hoogte blijven over het nieuws, over onze activiteiten. Ga daarvoor naar onze website cvi.nl/actueel. Daar kunt u artikelen lezen, uitzendingen bekijken en podcasts beluisteren. Nogmaals dank voor het kijken en graag tot de volgende keer.